Economic Alliance presents the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your show for the coast with the most growth, with your host, Jason Lee and Clint Aiken.
Yeah, we're sitting here with Chad Burke, the president of the Economic Alliance. And before we jump into a little bit about Chad and our show today, we've got some news that we want to share, but we'll just jump things off with some gratitude. I think it's important to start the day with an attitude of gratitude. So I'll go first. The first thing I want to be thankful for is my team. I work with a team of great individuals that allows me to have the time to be in the community, doing the things that I enjoy, and spending my time with organizations like the Economic Alliance. So I'm humbled and grateful to be able to serve with my team. Clint?
I am very grateful just to be up today. It's Friday. I love Fridays. I look forward to Fridays, and there's going to be a beautiful weekend. The weather's awesome. I want to thank my wife and kids and my Savior, Jesus Christ.
Outstanding. So in the same vein, special thanks to our executive board of directors and our full board of directors, because nothing happens around here without their great support and leadership. So always very thankful for our leaders.
Fantastic. Now, Clint, so if we have some industry news, some things that we wanted to share, and then we'll jump into our interview today.
So a lot of things that are going on. Actually, I want to cover some more events that are coming up just to make our audience aware. The PMIES show, the Plan Maintenance Engineer and Inspection Professionals, are having their show and convention expo next Thursday, the 21st, at the Pasadena Convention Center. SMRP is another really good organization for the Society of Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. They'll have a meeting for their West Houston group on Thursday, March 21st. You can go to smrp.org to get more information about that one as well. And the last one that I really want to mention is the ACIT, the Association of Chemical Industry in Texas. They're actually going to be having a charitable golf event on Thursday, April 11th. So please go to ACIT.org and get more information about that. It's a great tournament.
And did you want to give our sponsors some recognition as well?
Yeah, I guess we can go and knock that out. The sponsors that we have is McDonough Engineering. McDonough is a full-service engineering firm specializing in industrial site design, including tank terminals, truck loading facilities, and manufacturing and distribution facilities. They're proud supporters of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region and this podcast. You can check them out at mectx.com. We also just got Turner Industries, so this one's kind of short, but they do offer construction equipment, rigging, and specialized transportation, pipe fabrication, and maintenance. They also have specialty services, environmental and non-destructive testing. So you can go to their website to learn a little bit more about them. Our final sponsor is the ISTC. The Industrial Safety Training Council. They're proud to support the podcast. They're the nation's leading industrial workforce compliance organization, and they're committed to safety of our petrochemical plants, pipelines, and the contractors. You can drop them a line at #IAmSafety.
Fantastic. So Clint was gifted with a phenomenal radio voice. And so the one thing my wife wanted to make sure didn't happen was that I was responsible for commercials, because people might not be able to understand what I said. So that was great. And a big shout out to our producer, Bruno Santilli. He'll be helping edit the episodes, podcasts, and getting them out for distribution. So we're very grateful for that opportunity. So with that being said, let's turn it over to our special guest. For those that don't know Chad, he's the president of this organization, but and really today is about learning about the Economic Alliance. It's our inaugural show. In essence, they really are our sponsor. They kind of got behind us with this deal and decided they were going to help champion it. So, Chad, we'd love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself, your role with the organization, and then if you wouldn't mind sharing about the Economic Alliance, what it does, and specifically the mission.
Sure, sure. First, I just want to say thanks to you two guys for making this happen. The creativity to come up with a great idea is not always one of my fortes, but I can always recognize a great idea, so I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I know we'll talk about that a little bit later, but a little bit about me personally, kind of background. Born and raised here along the Houston Ship Channel, born and raised in Deer Park, attended Texas A&M University.
Do it. You got to do the whoop. You forgot the whoop.
Class of 87. Spent 4 years in the Corps of Cadets there. It was a fantastic experience. I really appreciate my university. I'm one of five kids. We all did go to Texas A&M University, even though my father went to U of H. I grew up a Cougar fan, but ended up at A&M. And so had a chance to move back down to this region in 08 to come to work for the Economic Alliance. And it's been a real blessing and a joy ever since. So
fantastic. And so being a hometown guy, I think it makes perfect sense that you're suited for the role and the responsibility of this organization. I know when I first heard of the Economic Alliance, I was completely unaware, having grown up in this area, about the impact and really what the organization did and how much it championed for our region. So I'd love to have you share a little bit about what you guys do and specifically the mission of the organization, if you don't mind sharing.
Sure, absolutely. It's a great question because a lot of people don't really understand what the organization is, who funds it, what's its mission. I like the way you said champion the region. Maybe that should be our new tagline because that's really what we do. The Economic Alliance is a nonprofit economic development corporation. It was formed back in 1985 with the mission to grow the regional economy. And I like that mission because it's very short. I can't forget it, right? It's grow the regional economy. And the way that we do that is we fight for new investment in the region. We fight to make this region competitive, not only in the state of Texas, but along the Gulf Coast and really globally as well. So we fight to make this region globally competitive, and then we want to attract businesses who will put capital investment in the ground and create jobs. The organization, again, it's a private nonprofit. We have 12 cities that are members of this organization that primarily surround the Houston Ship Channel. Harris County is a longtime original member of this organization, as well as the Port of Houston Authority. Oh, wow. In addition to that public side of the house, we have about 250 private member companies. All of our sponsors happen to be members, and we want to thank them. But the organization is made up of the stakeholders in the region, the people that want to do business in the region, the people that control and lead cities and in the county, this part of the county. That's kind of who we are. So when we begin to put together how we do business and how we do fight for those jobs, we have these fantastic stakeholders, whether it be industry, city, county, port. We have the people in the region that are the movers and the shakers of this region, and so it becomes a lot of fun to work together with those people with the common goal of growing the economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Great. Now, you had talked a little bit about the common goal of growing the economy. I would imagine in the scope of what we do and all the jobs and the things that you guys are trying to bring to the region, how is it that you make this Economic Alliance competitive? Because there's a lot of people fighting for money these days. So how does that happen?
Sure. So there are certain things that go into making a region competitive. Every company goes through an evaluation process when they decide to spend money, right? Whether it's to buy new equipment or to move to a different location or to build a new billion-dollar facility, right? So that equation is where we like to play. You will find companies, and most of what we do, the 32 or so projects that happen to be in our pipeline right now, 60% of those projects are petrochemical. We're at the heart of the world's largest petrochemical complex. We're home to the nation's busiest and number one exporting port. So you would think that what we work on...
Can we go back and highlight that just real quick? It's the number one port. Most people don't realize that.
It's the busiest port by far in the as far as the number of ships that move in and out of this region.
Right.
You could take L.A. Long Beach and New York, New Jersey, and add their number of ship movements together. It still doesn't reach the 10 or 11,000 ships that go in and out of the Port of Houston.
Oh, wow.
So busy is incredible, the number of goods flowing in and out here. And then it's the nation's number one exporting port. We export more goods, more dollar value of goods out of this port than anywhere else in the country. And that's driven by the oil and gas industry. It's driven by the petrochemical industry. So part of the makeup of our project work that we're working on, you would expect us to focus on the petrochemical industry, and the logistics that move those products in and out of this region. So just not by chance, but really by design, 60% of our projects that we're working on right now are petrochemical manufacturing. The next 20% are logistics in nature, whether it's terminals on the water or warehousing on the land. So when those companies are deciding where in the world that they can move, and 60% of that petrochemical local manufacturing or foreign domestic investment is foreign direct investment, right? So when they're deciding where they want to invest $100 million, $200 million, $1 billion, they are looking at four primary criteria. Proximity to feedstock, which we have that here in Texas, right, in North America. Proximity to markets. Well, we have access to all of the North American domestic markets via Houston, but then also the global markets via the Port of Houston. We just talked about how much export that we do here, right? So we score really high on those first two evaluation criteria. The third is going to be the country in which we, where they want to locate, right? So mm-hmm. What's the tax rate? Well, as a country, we decided to lower that tax rate a couple of years ago now, so we're closer to the global competitive 15% to 17% tax rate, which helps. Does your company have to invest in a private security firm to protect your facility in this country? Well, not necessarily, but it might in some countries, right? Will the government decide to take over your company, right? Well, they don't really have to worry about that here. In some countries, they do.
Right.
So country becomes a key critical component, one of the four. And then the last one is workforce, the cost to build, maintain, and operate that facility. How does that compare to a workforce cost in China? How does that compare to India, to the Middle East? How does that compare to Louisiana versus Texas?
Mm-hmm.
So what are those four key contributors into where I want to locate my facility? And the reason, one of the main reasons, I have to mention this, that we focus so much on the petrochemical industry is because in all of the sectors of economic growth and the economy, manufacturing has the highest indirect job creation. So if you land a job in manufacturing, it creates several indirect jobs. When you go down that food chain to retail, there's not a lot of indirect jobs being created.
Right.
That means there's not a lot of jobs that have to be created to support that one job. Well, inside manufacturing as a sector, petrochemical manufacturing is the highest indirect job creator out of all of them. So it's 7-to-1. So for every job that's created inside the fence at, say, a Shell or Exxon or Lyondell or Dow or those types of companies, there are 7 other jobs in the local economy that will be created to support that one job. And it's everything that you can imagine in this industry. It's all the service contractors, it's environmental, it's laboratory, mm-hmm. it's all the way down to the guys that are catering the lunch in.
Right.
I talked with one of our members the other day. They catered a 4,000-person lunch to one of our large facilities during a turnaround. Now, that's hitting the economy.
Yeah.
That creates jobs. That creates demand all the way through the economy. That creates demand on housing for our local cities and communities. That creates tax dollars for our school districts. So those are the areas that we like to participate and try and make a difference in. So it's infrastructure. How do we move products in and out of this region? Is it competitive? Do we have the road infrastructure? Do we have the freight infrastructure? Do we have terminals that can move products? I mean, the country just deregulated export of crude 3 years ago. So we went from exporting zero crude to now, we have 4 terminals now online that are exporting crude.
And a lot more coming,
right? So infrastructure, transportation is one of the key issues that we participate in. Our transportation committee, as you would expect, is made up of the Port of Houston, Harris County, TxDOT, the local mayors, and the local industry. So they work together to identify projects to facilitate good flow of goods. Second to that, and like I said, one of the 4 criteria is workforce.
Mm-hmm.
What's the price of that facility? How does that compare to build, maintain, and operate that facility versus if I built it in China, where I could get twice as many people working for probably less than what our labor cost is here? So that goes into it. So what we do on that front, partnering with our members, with our community colleges, with our industry, with our high schools, to identify and market the careers that, that we need more of here and push people into that pipeline that that really is fantastic jobs in this region. Average for Texas in the chemical industry is $104,000 a year. And there are a number of jobs that covers, right?
That's a good living.
Right? And most of those jobs are accessible with a two-year degree or less.
Right.
Now, there are engineers, and we need plenty of engineers, but we need plenty of process operators. We need plenty of boilermakers and welders and instrument techs and all of those craft skills that support this industry. Truck drivers are getting $20,000 and $30,000 bonuses right now in this region.
Wow.
I
like that. I heard them referred to as gold collar jobs instead of blue collar jobs.
Absolutely.
Most people think a blue collar job is anybody that's putting on a jumpsuit, right? So these are actually gold collar jobs. I like that terminology that was used.
Where else can you go and spend, say, $8,000 and get a 2-year degree and come out and access an industry and build your resume and career that the industry averages $104,000 a year? I mean, the opportunities here for economic growth and for just careers and raising the level standard of living for you and your family is there's nowhere else.
And I think we'll shift gears in a little bit, but I think the thing to remember, and we'll talk about the design of the show and why we wanted to bring awareness to it, but it's a lot of people just don't realize that we're tucked away over here, and because people aren't driving around and the C class, they drive around in the F-250s, and so they don't really, people don't recognize that this is a really flourishing market. But we have a couple of things that you wanted to highlight in regards to some big news that's going on. But before we do that, we wanted to jump back to our sponsors and give them some recognition, and then we'll jump into some events and things that are taking place.
Yeah, again, we just want to thank McDonough Engineering for sponsoring the show. We want to thank the ISTC, and we want to thank Turner Industries, and again, our producer, Bruno Santilli. He's going to be cleaning this up, so taking it from the live version and making it look maybe just a hair better. It looks pretty good right now, I think, but he might be able to clean it up just a little bit.
So. Well, I hope he can do something about my shiny head because I'm sweating bullets over here. So. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we talked about some of the big events that are coming up. I know that there's a bunch of big construction projects coming up with 146, 225. And then Economic Alliance is actually going to be, the port region is going to be heading to D.C. coming up as well. Can you kind of touch on those three things?
Some of the neat things that are happening, some projects that I'll mention that have kind of flown out of or fallen out of our transportation initiative. Highway 225, TxDOT is commissioning a study to look at the entire reach of Highway 225 from 610 and the 610 bridge all the way out to 146. Now, that project is in its beginning stages, but that would not have happened without the push from the stakeholders in this region. Mm-hmm. So if you drive down Highway 225, you know that we've probably got anywhere from 30 to 40,000 trucks a day going down Highway 225. It's a major artery. So this study will look at all of the linkages into Highway 225, the capacity, the current truckload that it's got on it, and then out of that will fall recommendations and then subsequently engineering and new projects to help redevelop. It's basically a redevelopment of Highway 225. So that's a huge win for the region. That's the region standing up and saying to the state and to TxDOT that hey, this region accounts for 16% of the state's GDP. You need to take care of the part of the state that makes the state money. And so that's a great win. Another really exciting thing is if you've driven through the region, that Beltway 8 is under construction. In two key spots in our area. So from 45 south all the way around east to Highway 225, it's under construction. And then, oh, by the way, there's this almost $1 billion project that is spanning the Houston Ship Channel, the Beltway A Bridge, right?
Right.
And so those two kind of huge connectors with what we talked about on Highway 225 will be ongoing. The nice win for the region is that at least 5 of the 8 direct connectors, the flyovers, if you will, from Highway 225 to Beltway 8, the most used 5 angles, have been approved and funded. it will be built in with the bridge project over the next 4 years. It's a 4-year project. We get that. It's going to take some time, but in the end, it will alleviate a lot of slowdown that runs through that major artery as we come in and out of the east side.
And you know, I think it's easy to forget when you're in that mess what the big picture is, right? We sit in it every day and we say, "Oh my God, I'm so tired of them doing traffic," but the ultimate result, I think, for us as a region is it becomes a more desirable place to work, a more desirable place to bring business. And then so if you live in the area and you hate driving around in it right now, it gets better. More importantly, your values, the restaurants you want to eat at, all the things come to where you live because people want to be here. They want to be part of the region.
Development follows infrastructure. And when you free up infrastructure to move people and goods through a region.
Fantastic.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's important. Another new slogan for you.
There you go. I'm going to start saying that to myself every time I'm in traffic. I'm going to say development follows infrastructure.
It does.
So we're looking forward to that. Before we jump into a little bit about you, because we've talked a lot about the company, things that are happening, I'm sure a lot of our viewers and people within the organization and that just know you in the community would love to learn more about Chad, and Clint's got some questions for you. But let's paint a picture of the show. I know when we approached you, I think the design or the idea was I had a vision that said there's people who don't realize the value of what we do. When I say we, I mean all the organizations, all the businesses that are really participating in bringing jobs and opportunities to our region. There's a lot of people who put their head down and go down here every day and work their tails off in the area, but don't realize the big picture. They don't get to see the phenomenal things that are happening because they're out there working when they're having big conferences.
They might be stuck in traffic.
So maybe we're going to take that traffic and that drive time and give them an opportunity to capture some great events of what's taking place. So tell us about your vision for the show. I know we picked out some great guests over the next 12 weeks. Tell us a little bit about what your hopes and visions are for this.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jason. And first, really, again, I know I said thank you, but the idea for this, I really appreciate it because one of the things that we do that I think is valuable for any member of our organization is that we provide information. We have great stakeholders in this region that are making business happen, that are making policy, that are building roads, that are adding new facilities. The access to that information is one of the neat things about this organization. When you can go to a committee meeting and hear what's happening on the political front or on the policy front, or if you can come to a business growth committee meeting and hear how other businesses are doing businesses and how to do business with them, the information transfer that we offer is one of the most valuable things out there. That's why we do our events. I tell everybody, each one of our events, you're going to get two things. You're going to get information that can help your business in one way or another, and you're going to get a chance and an opportunity to meet somebody that you might want to meet and do business with, right? That's why we do our Gulf Coast Industry Forum. It is an opportunity to lay business from the tip of the pyramid, from the real movers and shakers and drivers of this sector, and put that out in front of a crowd of 1,000 people for 2 days.
Which is growing year after year, too. So, I mean, that's obviously the sign of success that y'all are having with that show is that every year y'all keep having to add more and more to it.
Well, and it's driven by the information, right? And that's what this show does. That's why I'm really excited about this. To be able to, on a weekly basis, put some of those stakeholders with some of that really interesting information out there that people may not otherwise have a chance to grasp hold of. So whether it's policy or whether it's transportation or education or workforce development or project work that we're working on, economic development project work or leadership or any of those topics that we've identified and y'all have done a fantastic job with the people that we've lined up. So that ability to put quality, valuable information out on a regular basis only makes the organization more valuable to our members. Fantastic. And to anybody out there. So I really appreciate it.
So obviously, go ahead. I was going to say,
I'm stepping on your toes. I'm not even waiting.
No, I love it. It's okay. I got some nice boots on. It's not going to bother me.
All right.
So as we get close to wrapping up, I'd love to really talk a little bit about Chad. Let's highlight him for a moment, and maybe you got some questions that we can frame up to, you know, give our audience some background about him as the man, Chad the man, not Chad the president. So
I mean, you do a lot for the community, and one of the questions that we really want to come back to, and we're going to do this with every guest, is we really want to know what charitable organizations are you involved with? You know, what is your just personal passion, maybe outside of what you do professionally? Obviously, what you do professionally feeds into it, but for question's sake, what charitable organizations would you like to highlight that you're involved with?
Sure. So a couple of them, and again, it kind of goes back to who we are and what's important to me and us here. So first, I would say Petrochem Works, which is our ECMA partners with our community colleges in the whole region, really, and their scholarship golf tournament. Happens this year on October 25th. It's a way to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for scholarships for those young people and those underemployed that we were talking about that might want to get into this industry. So that would be the first one. And then second one, again, kind of at a very personal level, the Deer Park Education Foundation. Again, I went to school in this city, and my kids graduated from that high school. And it's a great organization that raises money for scholarships, mini grants for, not scholarships, but mini grants for teachers to use in the classrooms. And so that's a great one and a fun one to do. We do two fundraisers a year. One's a basketball tournament, one's a fun run. So anything that has to do with sports, I'm all in. So I like that as well.
Awesome. What three contributing factors would you say have really led to your professional success and made you a leader at this organization?
Yeah, that's a rough question.
It is. It's very multifaceted. It's layered.
So I would say this. You know, I was raised by very supportive parents that set expectations, high expectations on the way you act, the way you work, the way you interact with other people. So support and expectations kind of set me on the right path. And then over the years, I've just been very, very fortunate to be surrounded by or develop a group of friends that I can look to as mentors and strength to draw on and guidance and, you know, everything from business decisions to faith decisions. It comes from surrounding myself with people that I think that I look up to, that, you know, so that's really been very fortunate. I'll mention this, you know, I moved here in July of 2008, and 2 months later, IKIT and the financial crisis hit the United States. And so when I came on board here, it was a rough 6-12 months of what was happening. But very shortly after that, fracking technology took hold and the chemical industry began to relocate to the Gulf Coast of the United States. And so timing is always a good thing to have on your side. So the last 8 or 9 years have been very good for the Economic Alliance because we've grown along with this region. And hopefully we played our part. Like I said before, I think we are professional skid greasers. We want to grease the skids of business, and that's what we do here. We help facilitate good conversation and information. We've been lucky to kind of come along at the right time. So luck is a good thing too. Timing, I'll say timing.
So okay. this is a tough one for you because throughout your sharing, what got you to be successful was a whole lot of humility, and we appreciate that's one of the things that I've grown to become so appreciative of about you, Chad. And in that humility, though, this one might be tough. But give me one thing that you're most proud of. Give me a real big, like recent and or something that really stands out that you got to. And it might be hard for you to toot your own horn, so you might have to toot someone else's. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of Chad's way.
But. So, yeah. So, I literally, I will say this. Very, very proud of the work that the Transportation Committee has done over the last 3 years. The leadership of our current chairman, Glenn Royal, and Bob Bradshaw, who's the immediate past chair of ECMA, have done a phenomenal job in getting things moving in that area. So, really proud of that. On a personal level, you know, I'm proud of my wife. She is a very smart woman. This woman is a lawyer. She raised two beautiful kids. She has worked a phenomenal career. She works out at Lubrizol now. And then on top of all of that, she is an amazing barrel racer and horsewoman, and I really appreciate that. So I'm proud of her, proud of our two kids that we raised. One is now currently in the Navy, and then one is a junior at Texas A&M University.
And A&M
Yeah, she followed in the footsteps. So very proud of both the kids and our grandson, who is now 4 years old. So
fantastic. Yeah. So we asked Chad to highlight something he's really proud of in himself, and it basically was everybody else. So we like that. So if we did capture that, though, he has a phenomenal wife who pushes him every day, and I think that's something that if he would not have captured that on this show, it probably would have been a miss. So congratulations. He's a smart guy. I pick up wisdom from Chad every time I'm around him. So with that being said, guys, we're going to turn really recap the show and close it out. Clint will cover our sponsorships here in a second, but I do want to inform our audience. Next week, we're going to be talking with Fred Welch from the Economic Alliance as well. Fred's a little bit more in the trenches in regards to what he does as the vice president. So while the same organization, I think Chad was intent on covering and casting vision today, while we're going to come back in, and Fred will tell you a little bit about the workings and how the, for lack of a better term, how the sausage gets made over here. We're excited about that. I want to speak to our audience and ask both our sponsors and our members that they communicate this show. Really, this is for the layer past the folks that sit here in the meetings, the folks in the board. It's the layers down that we're trying to communicate to. So let's spread the awareness, and hopefully we'll capture some momentum. Right. And if you ever have feedback, you can contact the Economic Alliance, as well as reach out to Clint or myself directly via LinkedIn. Right. And so as we close out, Clint, just capture our sponsors real quick.
Yeah, again, just want to thank McDonough Engineering. We want to thank the ISTC, and we want to thank Turner Industries, and of course our producer, Bruno.
Economic Alliance thanks you for tuning in to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and share with your friends.